body can find the sub and the summary on their desk. It is they both have, they're separate, but they both are numbered 06F. What this is I thought I had bare bones the other day, but now this just takes the bill back to only LIFO. You'll remember that LIFO is a required government dictate that if there's a leave of absence or you have to let teachers go because of a reduction in force requirement for financial reasons or other reasons like the pupils aren't there, you have less population, then those that you fire, that you have to let go in a reduction, have to be hired back based on seniority, not based on the effectiveness of the teacher. And so that's the only thing that we have left in the substitute. Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the substitute.
Senator from 13th is seeking recognition.
Unanimous consent.
Thank you, Mr. President. And it has been. Hey, let me see that number. It is. I've got two amendments. This one's point 02S. It has been distributed. I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
Seeing no objection, the reading shall be waived. Would you like to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this would in the substitute brackets out. Which basically takes out of existence several provisions which are now in law. What my amendment would do, if you look in section 186.124, it would move the brackets such that section numbers 4, 5, 6, and 7 would remain in existing law. So it removes the brackets from those numbers. And the reason I think that's important is it would allow teachers who are qualified, who have been laid off, the opportunity to be the first hired should the school district be in a situation where they can resume hiring or replace that increase those staffing requirements. And so basically my amendment leaves that, which is current law, leaves that in place. Be happy to answer any questions.
You've moved for that adoption, Senator. The Senator from the 23rd moves for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1, the Senate substitute to Senate Bill 806. Does any senator wish to be heard? Senator from Johnson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Inquire the maker of the amendment.
Senator from the 23rd, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you very much. And Senator, thank you very much for offering this amendment. And I think you explained it very well. It deals with those teachers who are on leave at this point, and yet makes sure that when they're on leave, they're not taken out of employment.
Not somebody who was terminated.
Right. It would be someone who's on leave because of what it does. It refers to those teachers who are on leave, section 168.124. And so what you've done is you've taken those brackets out, so then 4, 5, 6, and 7 would still be there. So this it kind of talks about those teachers.
Also leaves that language at the bottom part of 7, which would still be new language, where seniority or years of service shall not be used as criteria.
Right. So thank you very much. Mr. President, speak on the amendment.
Senator from Johnson, proceed.
Thank you very much. I would like to say I'm certainly in favor of this amendment. I think it does give some flexibility to our school districts, but on the other hand, for those teachers who are on leave, it gives them the assurance to know that under these circumstances that they would be able to come back into employment. However, it does put the three-year limit on there, so anything after 3 years, they would not be qualified for that. But I do think it's a good amendment. I'm going to support it, and I would urge my colleagues to vote for this amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
We are on Senate Amendment Number 1, the Senate substitute, Senate Bill 806. Senator from Cape Girardeau, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire the senator from the 7th.
Senator from the 7th, do you yield?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. And I want, if I could, we had some introduction of guests. I think, you know, it's very congested down here. I want to kind of step back, recap where we found ourselves earlier this week, and try to figure out where we're going now. So if you could, My understanding is the senator from Johnson's amendment that would send to a study the issue of tenure was adopted. Your bill sought to get rid of tenure in the state of Missouri. We are now back on your bill. You removed your underlying substitute that had the senator from Johnson's amendment. Did you offer a new Senate substitute?
Yes.
Okay. And what does your new Senate substitute do?
It is just LIFO. We're getting rid of LIFO, and that's all.
Okay. Nothing on tenure?
No.
Okay. And the senator from the 23rd, I've got two amendments on my desk, has offered, I guess, the amendment ending in .02S.
Correct.
And what exactly does that amendment do?
Well, if you go to the sub that we just adopted, let me find that just a minute. Okay, if you go to the sub, which is 06F, on page 2.
Okay.
He is reinstating 4 through 7 on that page, starting with line 5.
He's reinstating... Oh, the numerical points 4 through 7. So
yes, not the line number is 5 through 13.
Okay, you were deleting everything going back to page 1.
I was deleting everything
going back to page 1.
Oh,
line
yes,
8.
Yes.
Page 1 line 8 all the way through page 2 line 13.
Correct.
You were deleting all of that.
Correct.
So let's find out what that is. This says the Board of Education of a school district may place on leave of absence.
Wait, no, it would start with no. Are you reading the whole thing?
Yeah, I'm reading the whole thing
because
I want to get a context of what's going on here. The Board of Education of a school district may place on leave of absence as many teachers as may be necessary because of decrease in pupil enrollment. School district reorganization or the financial condition of the school district. In placing teachers on leave, if we adopt your bill, then all of that other stuff would go away, and then it would be seniority of years of service shall not be used as a criteria for reduction in force. Effective teacher performance shall be the deciding criteria. So if we adopt the way you have got it spelled out, in that situation where they're not terminating somebody, but they're actually doing a workforce reduction because of financial conditions or whatnot, we would get rid of last in, first out. But if we adopt the senator from the 23rd's amendment under that scenario, we would have last in, first out. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, explain to me why that is smart. And there's a lot of things that we want to pass that we don't get passed. But my fear is, if the senator from the 23rd's amendment is adopted, that no one will ever be terminated. They'll all be this reduced force. So, in essence, you've accomplished nothing. And with all due candor, it's high time members of the General Assembly take a stand one way or the other. This self-congratulation of dislocating our arms, patting ourselves on the back, saying that we accomplished something when really we accomplished nothing. I understand. I wanted to get rid of tenure. I think tenure is an abhorrent concept. We lost. But it doesn't mean that we got to take a, reduction of a reduction of a reduction. Let's just keep the messed up system that's there and let it crumble like Rome did. I guess I'm trying to get your insights.
Okay. It's already crumbled, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many people. And Missouri is not the only one that is in that situation. And we are.
Well, explain to me what your bill's going to do if the senator from the 23rd Amendment goes on. The idea you brought out was to get rid of tenure and to get rid of last in, first out. Now, last in, first out works predominantly in the leave of absence. So if a school district is facing such financial strife, as the senator from St. Francis said, the school district in which his son works in is sitting there, and they've got five PE teachers that have been there 35 years. And just like his son, we've got two science teachers. The school district's going to lay off the two science teachers and keep all the PE teachers.
Senator, I agree with you. Let me point out what I think the baby step we're taking, all right? First of all, if you look at number 4, which starts on line 5, no appointment of new teachers shall be made while there are available teachers on unrequested leave of absence, all right? That does look like we have totally undone what we had hoped to do with LIFO. But if you go down to line 13, of those people that we are now required to look at, even if there are other ones available that are better, at least it says seniority or years of service shall not be used as criteria for reduction in force.
Adopt the amendment, Mr. President. As I read the substitute by the amendment we just adopted, we have basically duplicate language in the bill. So by having number 5, that section numbered 5, if you go down further on number 2, a teacher placed on leave of absence may engage, it's duplicate language. So I'm, with this amendment, deleting the duplicate language that is now in place because of the amendment we adopted.
The senator from the 23rd has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2 to Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 806. Senator from Johnson, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Inquire the maker of the amendment.
Senator from the 23rd, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, this would almost be considered a technical change. What you're saying is because we passed that last amendment, we need to put this in to make sure that the numbering is done accordingly. Done
correct.
Correctly.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Senator. Mr. President, just speak on the amendment.
Proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Basically, this is a technical change. We have to do this because we passed that last amendment. Good amendment, and I encourage my colleagues to vote for it. Thank you.
Does any other senator wish to be heard? Senator from the 7th?
Yes, to inquire of the senator from the 23rd.
Does the senator yield?
Yes.
If he yields, you may inquire.
Okay, this is a new one I didn't know about.
I'm sorry.
The language you're removing, but I don't see where it's duplicated somewhere else.
Okay, well, that's the amendment that where we, so we no longer bracket that language out on the numerical 5 under the 4, 5s and 6, 5 from the 4, 5, 6, and 7 says the teacher placed on leave of absence may engage in teaching.
Okay, I see it now.
Okay,
thank you.
And section two. Or number 2.
I see it. Okay.
Okay.
Because
okay.
We put it back in. All right.
Okay.
Thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate it.
Senator from the 14th, are you seeking recognition? Does any other senator wish to be heard on the motion of the senator from 23rd? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close.
The senator renews his motion on adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment is adopted. Senator?
Mr. President, I have an amendment. It is 0.03S. It has been distributed. I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
The reading will be waived. Make your motion, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move for the adoption of the amendment. Mr. President, I think teachers play a valuable role in the development of our children and their education. You know, I think parents are the most important factor in a child's education, but certainly teachers play a critical role. My problem with tenure has been that we provide a protection for teachers that no one else gets. And, you know, you've got to work every day, you know, in this economy, in this world, in whatever job you're doing. You've got to fight to improve yourself. You've got to try to do a better job every single day. And my concern with tenure is it would give basically a lifetime job and would be a detriment to having that teacher potentially be the best that they can be as they try to serve our young people. And that's why I don't like tenure. But I recognize that the body is divided on it. But I do think in a compromise in what I'm offering here is that by moving it to five to 10 years is that the teacher will continue to grow and develop in their skills in teaching children. And it's a compromise that I offer for this body, and one that should we move agree to that I will honor as we move forward. I'll no longer pursue elimination of tenure if we can move this from 5 to 10 years. Thank you, Ms. President.
Does any senator wish to be heard? The senator from the 14th.
Yes, I'd like to inquire of the senator from the 23rd, Mr.
Does
President.
Senator yield?
I do.
He yields, you may inquire.
Pardon. Senator, I got into the chamber a little late because we were discussing some other education bill that we're considering right now. And I looked at this amendment in particular. I understand what you're trying to do. My question here is there any language in this amendment dealing with those educators who are at sixth year?
Well, right now, existing law, if someone has tenure, they would be grandfathered in. They would continue to have tenure.
Is that explicitly in this amendment?
It's not. But it's because it's law. You can't take something away.
Do you mind if I offer an
That's
amendment
fine.
To me?
What you would like is an amendment that makes it clear in statute that anyone who is between years 5 and 10 now who has tenure would continue to have tenure?
Yes.
That's fine. We can do that.
Well,
that's what I believe we're doing, but if you'd like it stated clearly, I think that's what everyone else believes is in place, and I'll support that.
Well, thank you very much. Mr. President.
Senator.
I'd like to inquire of the senator from the 11th.
Does the senator from the 11th yield for inquiry?
I yield, Mr. President.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. And I'm basically just having this conversation with you because I have an amendment coming, and it's not finished yet, so I just want to have a conversation.
Senator, do you have not to get into your strategy, do you have an amendment to the amendment?
Yeah, I have an amendment to the amendment.
Okay.
And it's not completed, and I just wanted to buy up some time so that can be offered on the floor. From your perspective, what is your feeling about tenure now?
About the bill or this amendment?
Tenure, period.
Well, I don't like the amendment in front of us. I think that the Senate committee substitute, or I'm sorry, the Senate substitute is probably a fair compromise on the issue. And I think when we go to 5 to 10 years, it's one of those issues. Senator, you serve on a school board. I'm not really sure what that does, totally. And you know, I so part of it is just that I have concerns that I don't know that I know the senator from 23rd is offering this as a compromise, but I thought that his first amendment was sort of a compromise and the Senate substitute was a compromise. So I don't know that we're not opening up another this issue. I quite frankly, thought that the body dealt with this issue the other night, you know, directly. And the Senator from 23rd acknowledged that, that, you know, the body's divided, but it didn't go, you know, his way, so to speak, or the way he's advocating on the vote the other night. Certainly people can pursue other ideas and compromises. I'll be curious to see your amendment of how you, if you're amending his amendment, but, you know, teacher tenure, teaching is a different function than any other job. I mean, there's other challenges and things like that, so it's not unusual to have elements in anything that has that. I mean, we university professors have tenure. Are we going to deal with that? That profession requires some element of you know, certainty in that job, and I don't really see where that's that. But what the bill itself? I know you were when we went to this bill. The Senate substitute. The Senate substitute, I think, probably resolved some of the issues, and I don't really know right offhand where are you at on tenure.
Well, here's the deal. With this amendment that we're on right now, Missouri would be the only state in the country that has tenure at 10 years. It would be the only state in the country.
Well, that reinforces the point I have was I don't know where – when I saw the amendment, I'm not a teacher tenure policy wonk, and I don't know exactly – what that does of going from 5 to 10. I mean, I don't know, is there a basis for that, that because other states do it? Is it a political consideration? Is it somebody saying, well, I offer this as a compromise because of the political dynamic? I offer this as a compromise because this makes sense. I offer this as a compromise because it will help whatever, and those are all the answers I don't have. The only thing I have was I heard the dialogue of the Senator from 23rd and you, and I don't know where the 10 years came from, and what you just told me doesn't surprise me that, you know, where did we get that number? Again, what's the rational basis for doing it? Is there a political basis for doing it? I thought that the issue was well dealt with. We can keep talking. Don't worry. It's, you know, I used to like it when they wrote amendments, but they added that laptop, and technology always makes so much things so much better. Anyway, but I have 24 days left, so it's a problem. Like, you know, you're going to hear in the next few days, more and more of me say, well, it's a problem I don't have to deal with. It. I'll leave it to the
counting down. Yesterday.
I'll leave it to the new people. We're down to 24 days, till 24 legislative days. It's a problem that the new people can address. But I'll just tell you. Did you look up? What's the basis? How long Missouri has probably had the 5 year for? How long? Decades.
I would say so, but I truly don't know. I can only give you the perspective of being a school board member and dealing with tenure and teaching. And you know, oftentimes when you're a border school district like mine, the one that I live in and am a school board member, we're constantly trying to get the best suited teachers. And I think it's a frustration for all school districts, frankly, that are just trying to do better in their standard. And what we have found is that we have some really incredible teachers that don't have tenure. And then we deal with the reduction in force every year and the way that it's working out right now. And we have to get rid of our teachers, some of which are really talented, some of which need a lot of professional development. And, you know, where we are is a unique position from most school districts in the state. because we're right on that cusp of full accreditation. And we're trying to do the best of our ability, and we're having to make assessments on our teachers. Now, I'll tell you, there are some teachers that need to go. But then there's some good quality teachers that are in the school district who are great mentors to other teachers. And I know one of the things that we did in our school district is we are now rewarding our teachers that are, I think, get the national certification and to increase their wage. I mean, that's the big deal. There are not too many teachers across the state that even want to get the national certification. And we want to reward them. There's some of our teachers who want to get more education. We want to allow that for our teachers. But part of that, it's the carrot and the stick kind of philosophy. And we're saying, listen, we want you to have tenure, but we want you to have more professional development. We want you to get national certification. We want you to do all of these other things so that they can be the best teacher they can possibly be. And so all of this is a compromise, and I know the senator from the 23rd is making an effort to compromise.
Well, he might just disagree with us. I mean, I don't get into how people voted, but I mean, I personally lean toward, it's a matter of record, I lean toward what the senator from Johnson offered as the last amendment on the bill the other night, which is that these are very complicated issues. We don't have complete resolution to it. We don't have a complete consensus by everybody. Let's look at it. My opposition probably to the current amendment from the senator from 23rd would be if the body voted for the senator from Johnson's amendment the other night, why are we defining it now? Wasn't that a pretty clear statement that we want to – we could certainly deal with the issue the senator from 23rd is bringing up by doing what we did the other night, which is the body adopted the senator from Johnson's amendment. I mean, this, if it makes sense to go to 10 years, if there's a reason for that, if there's, you know, then we can deal with that issue under what the senator from Johnson proposed two nights ago, or I lose track of time, you know, because I only have 24 days left. But if you work in special session, well, not special, I'm sorry. Freudian slip there. If you work in I didn't say the word budget either. Anyway, if you work in veto session, I guess I still have 26, technically.
But you may get.
And I don't know if you've been here, but they have this thing that I'm probably not going to show up the second day because they have this thing in the afternoon where they do this prolonged farewell and all this sort of stuff, and I don't know if I'm going to sit through that. I don't know if I can get anybody even to speak on my behalf.
Well, I heard that
the senator from Johnson has already refused.
I heard that you will get a special gift from a former member of this body.
Well, the current attorney general offered to come back and do it, but I don't know if that's permissible. I don't think we let former members come back and speak. Well, do you do? Okay.
It's a different former member. I happen to, I kind of want that gift early, but apparently it's only given out to those who are term limited out. So I can't say his name because he's...
Okay.
But there's a special gift that he gives you and other members that term out.
Oh, is he going to come back and...
Pardon?
Is he supposedly going to come back and is this the thing that I've been waiting 8 years of how he's going to pay me back finally? I've been hearing this threat for 9 years now about how he's going to. I'm going to have my day, and he's going to come in and his confused, his smoke-filled air, and come in here and come all with all these clever stories. And watch, nothing will happen. So I'm very aware of who is a potential roaster that has threatened for 9 years to do that. And he's going to come out and tell all. But anyway, isn't it great how laptops have made everything go so much quicker?
Well, I bet
and so
they
much
would,
more efficient.
But it seems to be...
I just wonder if we could maybe get like a small white mouse on a turnstile if it could go quicker than this. But is there a new development? Did they get another laptop over there?
We're just trying to do the same thing, but change it around a little bit. So what are you going to do after this?
I haven't really looked into that yet. It's kind of a question mark.
Inquiring
I don't know, probably a greeter at Walmart or something. I don't know, something like that. I was going to go do that and say, hey, how you doing? Eggs are on sale, that kind of thing.
Since we have this opportunity, let me talk about the emails that I've been receiving. So I've gotten a few emails in regards to my vote the other day, and it is so amazing to me. Again, this goes to the power of listening to the Senate. Because oftentimes, and I think I've...
Say that again, the power of listening to what?
The power of listening to debate on the Senate floor. And, you know, so many times our constituents get misinformation, unfortunately. And I said maybe a couple of weeks ago that accountability is a partnership. You know, I can't read through someone's mind if they don't tell me something. They have to verbally tell me what is on their mind. And what I found out is that a lot of my constituents have been misinformed. And so, very politely, I have given them the information that they needed in regards to this bill, because this is quite a controversial bill in my district.
I've gotten a lot of letters about this bill, and Senator, sometimes you get letters, I don't know if you respond to them this way, but when you get a letter and it's a form letter and it's sometimes referring to something that was introduced back in December and you've changed the language since then, you know, that, and sometimes the media doesn't always, given the modern confines of the media, they don't always express how the bill has changed, you know, since it was originally induced or what it actually does. And a bill sort of gets tagged. So you get these form letters and they kind of say, well, be against this bill, but they don't realize that, you know, a shall has become a may and all of that. And they don't really, sometimes people don't even understand that that's pretty significant, you know, and all that. But I've gotten a tremendous amount of mail about this issue. I know in years past, any time you deal with retirement issues, for years we have gotten, if the senator from Cape or the senator from Third had a bill dealing with retirement or pensions, regardless, the bill could have absolutely nothing to do with the teacher's retirement or peers or whatever, and we would get an onslaught of letters. You could just show them the bill and say the word teacher isn't even used, but it didn't matter because we would get all these letters from people just saying, don't touch the teacher retirement, don't touch this.
I'm not even talking about the form letters.
There was one year, I remember, I don't think the bill ever had the word teacher in it, but that didn't stop, a deluge of letters from coming. So I get it about people being misinformed. I mean, and sometimes the media doesn't always do the job they should of telling people what's actually in the bill and what we're dealing with and what we actually voted on and what we actually amended. But the other night, the senator from Johnson's, I don't know, he had the amendment that said, let's look at all this, sort of, for want of a better way of describing it. And I'm just wondering, I don't like to get into how people, but I don't think you supported that, did you?
No, I did not.
I was curious about that.
Well, why?
And I'm not asking you in any way why you, but I'm just saying why. Because it would appear to me this issue of tenure, you could look at that issue and kind of figure out where you want to go as a legislative body and all that going into the future. And I was just kind of curious. I didn't really understand on that what the issue was, because I was supportive of it because
you have just given me a great opportunity to talk about a lesson that I gave last year. And here's the lesson. Oftentimes, the lobbyists who have interest groups that they represent, they come to our offices the day of or the night before. I think I had a conversation with the senator from the 26th last year about a particular lobbyist that came at the 11th hour. And I have reported and told my office on several occasions when there is a interest that is out there and a lobbyist or another advocate is trying to express this interest, it should never come the day of, the 11th hour, or 5 minutes before. I have a very high expectation, because this is all a partnership. We have to be well-informed. Just last night I told one of my friends who's a lobbyist, you know, I wake up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, so please have your information in my email box by midnight. And I didn't get what I needed until about 6 or 7 o'clock this morning, and I was doing something else by 6 or 7 o'clock this morning. And so I want to express the importance.
Can I give you my opinion of that?
I want to express the importance of why a person who is an advocate on an issue or in opposition to an issue should come to all of us beforehand. Because I like to study stuff. I had no clue that that amendment was coming up. I had no clue. Now, my record is 100%. I've been 100%. But when we're not informed about an issue that is seen as a compromise, then I'm sorry, I can't help you. And I want this to be a lesson for every lobbyist that is concerned with what any of us do on this floor. Last minute is not going to cut it. I mean, there's so much that we're responsible for, and there are 8 of us. In our caucus, there are 8 of us. And so there are a lot more people who have an interest in one of the 8 of us, or at least, you know, securely 3 of us being on the floor at any given time, so that we can stand up against an issue or advocate for an issue.
Well, the problem with this, let me just tell you something, though, about this business about waking up at 3 or 4 in the morning. If you do that, you do not call the minority leader or text on a Sunday morning at 5:15 a.m. because sometimes the minority leader of the Senate does not turn off the notification part of his text on his cell phone and is awoken at 5:15 in the morning.
I do have a habit of texting.
Even though the fact that he may have gone to bed at 3:45 a.m. and had only been asleep for an hour and 22 minutes, I would suggest that you not do much of that in the future. And please, in another 24 days, never do that.
Well, I just want you to be prepared for the next day.
I wake up and hear the notification of the text, and I do use several expletives and say, who is that that would be doing that at that hour?
Well,
and
you know who does
it now. I see it's your number, and it's always some important thing like, how's it going? And I'm like, okay, not very well because it's 5:15 a.m. I don't know if the senator, if you ever contacted the senator from Cape, but I believe, not knowing his personal habits, I did warn you when you wanted his number, which I happen to have, to not do that with him either.
I don't remember that
to
text.
Call at a reasonable hour.
I don't remember
which
that
can
text.
Be defined as after 10 or 11 in the morning, particularly on a Sunday morning. So anyway, now this business also of I've got to have an email by 3 or 4 in the morning. Even if it's a lobbyist I don't like, I don't expect him to do that, okay?
Well, I think a couple of times you're still
that
up.
Falls into unreasonable request. And My other follow-up question is, what could you possibly be doing at 5 or 6 in the morning?
Working.
Okay. Well, you could read the amendment then instead of at 3 or 4 in the morning.
There are only 8 of us.
Okay.
26 of them.
There's 34 senators, so that's the way to look at it.
Yeah, but there are 8 of us.
But I don't know what are you attempting to do with this amendment that...
It should be very simple.
That now has 12 lawyers involved.
I know. It should be very simple. What I'm just trying to do is for any of those teachers who are in the middle of 5 and 10 years that they're basically grandfathered in, I don't want there to be any question about those people who are in that gray area. And I do know that we do have something in statute, but as we've been reaffirming what's already in statute at least 2 times this year, you know, I want it to be my turn to reaffirm what's already in statute. So I'm just trying to make sure that...
So did I understand that I've had to stand up for a few minutes here so we can reaffirm state statute yet again? That is the fruit of our labors here.
You could do the same thing I did with the senator from the 24th. But this is a very important issue. First of all, if we're going
I don't like the senator. I think that the way we should deal with it is to defeat the senator from 23rd's amendment.
Well, I was thinking about a roll call on the vote. So would you be supportive of that?
Well, you're not supposed to ask how I, but I voted for the senator from Johnson's amendment the other night because that's kind of my view of all these things, and I don't know what going from 5 to 10 years does.
Well, if there's a
rational basis or a public policy basis for doing that, explain it to me. If this is just, well, let's pick a number instead of 5, you know, I understand that. But anyway, this is your inquiry.
It is.
I don't want to be mean, but...
No, I mean, you're teaching me. I have 24 days to learn from you and the senator from Cape, and that was what my one of my priorities was earlier this year. So I'm just learning from some of the... Yeah, I'm going to actually inquire of a senator.
Or you can just stand at ease.
Or, yeah. Mr. President, can we stand? Yes, Mr. President, I request that we stand at ease.
For what purpose, Senator?
Because we have been been trying to get an amendment.
This hearing no objection, the Senate will stand at ease.
Session. Senator from the 14th has the floor. Senator, I have a guess. Would you mind if we did that first? Please send your substitute amendment forward. Are you asking for the waiver of the reading?
Ask for a
hearing
waiver.
No objection. The reading will be waived. Senator, you want to move for the adoption of your substitute amendment and explain it.
Yes. This amendment.
You need to move for the adoption.
Adoption of this amendment. This amendment, Mr. President, does a couple of things. We're concerned, and the reason why it's taken a little time, we're trying to put together some language for existing teachers who already have a contract in their school district. And basically what it does is say that any teacher that currently has a contract will be under the old system. So at 5 years, they would be tenured. However, any teacher that is hired after the effective date of this amendment, which is August 28th, they would be under a new contract or a new tenured system, which would be 10 years. There's one exception, which is St. Louis City, because they have different language in the statute, so it would be 10 years and 6 months. And with that, I move for the adoption of the amendment.
The senator wish to be heard on the motion. The senator from 14th. Senator from Cape Girardeau.
To inquire the senator from the 7th.
Does the senator from the 7th yield for inquiry?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator, and I appreciate it. I know this is the second time I inquired of you to try to get to where we are. I just want to recap on where we are.
Okay.
Prior, where we started, we had an omnibus bill that you had brought out to the floor. You and I actually disagreed at that point. I thought we came to a good resolution that we would let the Senate decide whether or not we wanted to repeal tenure in the state of Missouri or not. The senator, you brought forth a Senate substitute at that point. The senator from Johnson offered an amendment to effectively kill the repeal of tenure and put in its steadfast a interim committee to examine it. You withdrew this morning your underlying amendment that made the senator from Johnson's amendment go away. We then had a series of amendments that were offered by the senator from the 23rd that modified the last-in, first-out provisions that basically let that stand stronger than where your repeals are. Then we had an amendment by the senator from the 23rd to say we won't repeal tenure, we'll move tenure from 5 years to 10 years. And now we have an amendment from the senator from the 14th that, as I understand it, and I'm trying to walk through this. I don't know that I have been able to look at all of the intersectional cross-references, so I am going to inquire of her. But it's my understanding that this is going to say that you're grandfathering everyone that has already been employed in the state of Missouri as a teacher, regardless if they've gotten tenure or not, from this new 10-year tenure requirement.
Is that
your understanding? I know you had discussions and things with individuals on that. Is that your understanding what's going on? For the vast majority of school districts, I don't particularly understand the City of St. Louis provision. I don't know what your thoughts are.
With regard to your first question, this will have August 28th this year as the cutoff date. Anyone hired prior to that date would be grandfathered in and not be subject to the underlying amendment, which requires a 10-year service before tenure. They would be under the 5-year service. Now, you're a lawyer, and we had a discussion on the floor. I guess some could look at that as redundant because they already had a legal obligation when they hired the teacher to renew it at 5 years. I know you're a lawyer. You feel differently about that. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, tenure is a statutory creation that has never been termed a condition of employment. All right, that's a statutory deal. A lot of times if people were wanting to use what I have said in the past about pension benefits and how those have to continue, tenure is not a pension benefit. It has never been interpreted. To my knowledge, there's no case law that interprets it to that to make tenure, which is an artificial state granting, somehow paramount to a term and condition of their employment that's out there. So what I see in an interesting dynamic is going to occur here, I think. And it might not. It might not. For me, we've now taken this legislation to a point to where it means absolutely nothing. And to me,
at least not until I die.
Right. Well, or wherever, and by then, you know, you'll be gone, I'll be gone, and they'll change it back and probably unionize, collectively bargain it through the bipartisan bliss that will occur when you and I are now gone out of the General Assembly, where the special interests will just run this place left and right because we've got a significant number of individuals that are in the Senate that care more about what type of plaque they receive at the end of a legislative service as opposed to what bills they passed. And it's very interesting to see all this go on, but I think the dynamic that we're going to end up getting is somebody that supports the repeal of tenure is now going to vote against your bill. So I don't know exactly, you know, how great that is, but and I don't know if there's a whole lot of people sitting in the hallways that are going to get a bonus check because we're going to pass Senate Bill 806, and that's why we're just trying to do all of this, but, you know, to me, I appreciate the difficulty that you're in. We lost. It happens. I've done nothing but lose in this place for 6 years on trying to bring form, real reform forward on things. But once again, I'm looking to your guidance on this issue to try to understand, you know, we moved from 5 years to 10 years. Now you have this grandfathering amendment. What's really going on?
Well, I guess what could happen is I guess we could defeat this amendment. I think your legal analysis is helpful.
Well, I think we're going to lose with all. I guess we could ask for a roll call. I think we've got two more members here in the General Assembly that weren't here on the last roll call that I think may change the outcome. I don't know if a roll call is in order now. I'm just kind of looking for guidance from you on what may be a strategy to move forward, because I don't think what we're about ready to do resembles your bill in any way, shape, or form. I think it's been hijacked.
It doesn't even reflect our bare bones bill that you helped craft, at least to address the concern.
I mean, we can't even get, as the senator from St. Francis talked about, this unbelievable situation that can occur where a school district's got 5 PE teachers, but because of last in, first out, we're going to fire 2 science teachers that may have been hired after the 5 PE teachers.
So much for local
control. We're not even taking into account, because of this union mindset that abolishes any type of merit assessment to the quality of what's going on, that has defined deviance down to such a nature that we've all heard the stories of, if you feel good about it in public education, 2 + 2 = 5.
Senator, there's some information that I got in the last few days about the cost. We've been very interested in jobs in this body, on both sides of the aisle. And I'm not sure this is the exact number, but it's pretty darn close. If you have an ineffective teacher in a classroom, and we all know we've got plenty of those, that doesn't mean that everybody is. We have some fine teachers, too. But this country, this state, and local school districts all have some ineffective teachers in their classrooms. If a child has a classroom has an ineffective teacher, that translates into $250,000 of less salary for that class in their career. They've done studies that exactly correlate with the actual cost to the students of an ineffective teacher, just one. Now, if I get into more partisan arguments.
Well, I don't think we can get into more partisan arguments.
Well, I mean, I think our people need to.
Because most
this.
Of the Republicans are the ones that are pushing this stuff at this point.
Well,
these changes that we're at.
Our platform has this clearly in it, that the elimination of tenure is part of the platform under which we put our name. And so, and you pull this all over the state, tenure elimination polls at a 75% of people who agree with it. So this body is not reflecting voters. It's not reflecting its own party platform. I think we have
It's reflecting the hallways, though. It's reflecting the special
it
interests.
It's
reflecting the plaques.
I think we have today, we are looking at a defining issue of who we are. Are we going to stand here today as a body and we're going to make sure that children have the best chance of success in their lifetime and make sure that we allow teachers who are really good to have that very special privilege of molding our future generation? Are we going to allow business as usual, Business as usual in this country has produced just what the Council on National Security came up with a few weeks ago, that said we are so much in jeopardy right now that this is beyond mediocre education. We are now into a situation where leaders in this country across the spectrum are saying our national security is at risk. They're saying that back in 1983, when the Nation at Risk report came out and told us then, we're at risk, we've got to fix this. 1983, 93, 2003, 2000, 30 years, and we still haven't fixed it. And it seems like we still don't have the will to do it.
And when is education going to be about the student?
It never has. You and I have both been here 12 years. It never has. It looks like it never will. And now we're at a point where we're willing to literally give away our country.
And you know what pains me more than anything? And I'm going to speak from real-world experience, Senator. And I've said this with the former senator from the 24th, when we've had real dialogues that move on. I serve in the Senate today as a graduate from law school, as a graduate from undergraduate, as a graduate from high school, as one of those stupid kids that had the IEP that followed them all the way through their education. Okay? One of those LD kids. All right? That was me. I'm dyslexic. I don't know how many people know that out here. But I had that IEP. I sat in every one of those learning disabled classes. And thank God for public education. Thank God for my mother, who had a background in education and understood what was going on. But because these reforms can't be done, what is quickly occurring, it's happening on microcosms in communities like Cape Girardeau, and I've spoken about it at length, to broader nationwide implications. And that is the people with money, the people with means, the people with the ability, most of the public school teachers themselves are sending their kids to private schools.
That is true.
They're voting with their own dollars. It's not a shocker. It's not a surprise. Everyone knows it. But we still do nothing about it. And if it's any shock, you ask, where do you think we'll fall out as a body? If it's predicative of we've got another bill that's on the third read calendar, just dealing with honesty and transparency and scoring. And the same people that are whipping against your bill have already whipped against that bill. Why? For one simple reason. They want the little bug that says X special interest thinks I'm cool. They don't look at what the ramifications are. They don't look at the understanding that's behind anything. It's all become a special interest. So where do I think we'll shake out? The ironic occurrence is, in all likelihood, now that this bill has been watered down to accomplish absolutely nothing, it will probably pass. But it still doesn't address any of the larger dynamics. And as I said, this comes from an individual that until the sixth grade stuttered, will always be dyslexic, will always have the IEPs, will always have the experiences of having tests read to me, will always have the experiences where the teacher says, read the top of the instructions and look up after you're done, and having all the other kids in second, third, fourth grade laugh because I was always the last one. And thank God that those teachers were there. I've also said on the floor numerous times, I come from a family of educators. All right? That doesn't mean that I've got to protect this union mindset that nothing can be improved, that teachers must be unaccounted for, uncosted, unreliable pension systems because that's not what they want. Who is they? Who is they? At some point, Senator, at some point, you have a responsibility of holding an office. Vote no, that's fine. They voted no. But at some point, what I'm imploring to you is let everyone know that this Republican-dominated Senate doesn't do anything Republican. Might as well have a bunch of Democrats in here. At some point, that needs to be communicated.
I think it has been.
Good. Thank you.
The inquiry at an end, we return to the substitute amendment of the senator from the 14th. Does any senator wish to be heard? Senator from Buchanan.
Inquire of the senator from the 14th.
From the 14th? Oh. The 14th? Does the senator yield?
Yes.
Proceed.
Senator, I'm still not a little, I'm a little bit unclear on your amendment. What I thought I heard you say was that you wanted to make sure that teachers who had tenure already weren't going to lose it.
Here's what I'm saying. If you are a teacher and you're currently under contract today, let's say you were hired last week, or say you are at your fourth year, or if you are between 5 years and 10 years, and this bill goes into effect, there are two things that we're trying to do here. One, if you are already under contract and you're in that time and space, that you will go according to the current law because you're already hired. Moving forward, and when I say moving forward, what I mean is August 28th, when this bill becomes effective, if you are hired at that point, you will be have to go under the 10-year.
Okay, well, what I'm trying to ask you is, so what you're saying is that if I'm working today, if I go and get a job today, I get to have tenure in 5 years instead of 10 years.
If you're still there.
Okay.
If you haven't been terminated already, or if
well,
you haven't...
Why, would you be willing to make it so that the people who don't have tenure yet wait another 5 years to get it?
This language that is before us right now is language that was developed between myself, the senator from Polk, and we had conversations with the senator from the 23rd. And my first initial expectation was to make sure those teachers who are between the 5 and 10 years grandfathered in.
Well, but they already have tenure, don't they?
Well, we don't know that. It's in statute currently, but what I'm trying to do is make sure that there's no question about it.
Well, I mean, I know, but...
Between the 5 and 10 years. Then, the senator from Polk and I had a conversation, and he was concerned with those employees, those teachers, who have been hired for 2 years.
He still wants them to get it after they have served 5.
After 5, yes.
Okay, well, I'm not okay with that. If you change this to August the 28th of 2007 so that it only covered those people who now have tenure, then I'd go for this, but I'm not going to be able to support it this way.
I respect that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator wish to be heard on the Senate amendment substitute offered by Senator 14th? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I renew my motion.
The senator renews her motion on adoption of the substitute amendment to Senate Amendment Number 3. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no.
No.
The noes appear to have it. The noes do have it. The amendment is defeated. We're back to the Senate Amendment Number 3 offered by the senator from the 23rd. Does any senator wish to be heard on that amendment? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close.
The senator renews his motion on adoption of Senate Amendment Number 3. As many as are of the opinion it should prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment goes on the bill. Does any other senator wish to be heard on the motion of the senator from the 7th? To adopt the substitute. Seeing none, the senator from the 7th is recognized to close.
I renew my motion to adopt the substitute.
The senator renews her motion to adopt the Senate substitute now before us. Does any senator wish to be heard on that motion? No, I'm sorry, recognized to close. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate substitute is adopted.
That the Senate committee Senate committee substitute for 806 be perfected and printed.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator wish to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close.
The senator renews her motion on perfection of the bill as amended by the Senate substitute. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is ordered, perfected, and printed.